from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Odyssey celebrates the back-to-school season, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
Live from downtown San Francisco, this is 95.7 The Game.
All right, what is going on, Bay Area? Evan Giddings alongside Jason Dumas with you back 12 to 4 as we move along here on 95.7 The Game. Appreciate everyone joining you, or joining us, I should say, in the morning. Joe Spadoni, Sam Lubman doing a fantastic job. We keep it rolling right here, 4 hours. And even though, look, it's another hot day in the Bay. I know you were working hard, what, until like midnight, Jay?
Yeah, got off at midnight last night.
But it's another steamy one. I'm not sure. Again, we're kind of waiting for something to percolate, wait for something to happen. But either way, I look forward to rocking with you for the next 4 hours. I had fun yesterday, Jay.
Oh, yeah, for sure, for sure. I'm glad Sam and them got all the Giants talk out of the way. If anybody calls in and wants to talk Giants, of course, we can get there. But, man, we have – it's early July. That's like peak NBA offseason news cycle. So – we're still wondering if Mike Dunleavy is working the phones and trying to make some more moves on the roster. I think, Ev, me and you have been pretty satisfied with what he's done up to this point. Obviously, Klay Thompson gone, Chris Paul gone, Lester Quinones gone, presumably Dario Saric gone. He had a nice game yesterday in whatever the Olympic try. I don't know what the heck they're playing, but they're getting ready for the
Slovenia. Dude, he had a triple-double, right?
Yeah,
didn't they beat Doncic?
Yeah.
Croatia beat Slovenia.
They also played New Zealand. And do you know what they do before the game, New Zealand?
No, but those Australians and New Zealand teams are something else. Like, like the haka or something?
Yeah, they're like, you know, screaming. So, obviously, we had that viral clip years ago when New Zealand played USA. And it's pregame, and they're doing it, staring at the players. And it's like Derrick Rose and Melo and all of them. They're just kind of just staring with blank faces. It was funny. They showed a clip. It's guys like 10 feet away from Dario just screaming in his face, going through his – I don't know what the right word is. I don't want to be I don't want to be disrespectful to people's culture. So forgive me if I don't use the right vernacular, but he's just screaming in Dario's face, and Dario's just staring at him like, I don't really know how to react to this. So that was pretty funny. We got over international basketball going on right now. We have Summer League starts tomorrow.
Yep, Chase California Center, Classic.
California Classic. Tomorrow, I think we have Warriors Heat, right?
Yep, at 3:30 p.m.
So we will see Anthony Vereen making his debut on the bench. He's a Warriors assistant coach. And then we'll see Trace. We'll see Brandon Pajemski. We won't, I think you said, Evan, we won't see Quentin Post.
Quentin Post was not on the roster. I know he was dealing with an injury when they drafted him, so it was kind of like a...
I think I saw Dalton...
California Classic game time decision.
I think I saw my man Dalton report over at NBC Sports Bay Area report that he is dealing with an injury. It is not serious, but that's why he won't be available. But hey, Guy Santos, I love watching him play.
Right now we got TJD, Pod, Santos, and Pat Spencer's probably the other name that people would recognize.
Oh, yeah, Pat Spencer. I just saw, I think it was yesterday, the Warriors tweeted, happy birthday, Pat Spencer. So a belated birthday for Pat. Good dude. I covered Pat. I covered Guy. There's a couple other guys I saw on the roster on this California Classic roster that I covered all last year in Santa Cruz doing the sideline reporting for them. And I loved covering everybody on that roster. Was really cool. I think Jimmy Witt is on the roster. He's a good dude. So it'll be fun. It'll be fun. I'm going to be in the building tomorrow. Bronny, I mean, I haven't seen any reports suggesting otherwise, but I would assume Bronny will play.
Yeah, you would think so.
This weekend.
He's got a guaranteed contract.
I hope he's not too big for summer league. You never know the way things are going.
I was going to say, don't put it past a LeBron to do something.
You never know, but that would be great. There's a local kid on the Miami Heat. His name is Kashad Johnson, went to San Leandro High School.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
So it'll be cool to see him play. I watched him. I've been covering him very closely over the last 5 years. So, look, man, Warriors need to give me a paycheck because I'm selling this California Classic. Technically, they do give me a paycheck with the Santa Cruz Warriors. That is, says Golden State Warriors on my paycheck. But the fact is, no advertising. I just think if you're a basketball fan and you're itching for some hoop action, Chase Center's the place to be tomorrow. It'll be a fun day. Two games, four teams, some interesting names on each roster.
And while we're plugging it, it is, again, starting tomorrow, July 6th, a summer basketball showcase, the California Classic, featuring all those picks we just mentioned, second-year pros, and more. So go to warriors.com to grab your tickets, all brought to you by Clean California. Remember, just one piece of litter can ruin the game. Zero litter is the goal. All right, that's Jason Dumas. My name is Evan Giddings. Thanks to everyone filing in and continuing to stay on YouTube and Twitch, powered by First NorCal Credit Union. Shout out to the Xfinity Mobile text line, 888-957-9570 is the number. We actually do have a piece of news today, Jay, that I think is big. I'm not going to lie to you. I think it's big because it centers around somebody we talked about ad nauseum yesterday, and I think will be, well, potentially, if the Warriors don't swing a big trade, all eyes are going to be on him this summer. And I'm talking about Jonathan Kuminga, because moments ago from Adrian Wojnarowski of ESPN, Orlando Magic forward Franz Wagner has agreed to a 5-year max rookie contract, $270 million. So 5 years worth up to $270 million for Franz Wagner, who, of course, is not only in the same class as Jonathan Kuminga, but they are one pick apart. And Kuminga is also somebody that is contract extension eligible this summer. So 888-957-9570. What does that mean for Jonathan Kuminga? Franz Wagner, I think he's a good player, Jay. But Scotty Barnes has been maxed out. I think Cade Cunningham, they've already said in Houston they're not going to max out Sengun or Green. But what does that mean for Jonathan Kuminga? And what does it mean for the Warriors?
It could mean a multitude of things. So first and foremost, let me tell you what I think it means to Jonathan Kuminga. Then I'll tell you what I think it means to the Golden State Warriors. Because they're different answers.
Oh, they are. And right now they might be far apart.
I know Jonathan Kuminga, for better or for worse. I'm not giving my opinion on whether I think he's right or wrong. I'm just telling you what I believe he thinks, just off covering him and knowing him pretty well, relatively speaking. He's one of the guys on the team who I actually, every time I see him, we have a good conversation. We chat. We talk about things outside of basketball. He knows my interests. I know his interests. I go and watch his brothers, cousins play at Bishop Reardon because I had another kid who I've been following at Bishop Reardon. So I've seen him at Reardon.
They pull up the games too. It's cool.
Yeah. I've sat next to him at Bishop Reardon watching a game. What I know of Jonathan, he's an extremely confident person. not cocky. He's not. He's not a cocky guy, but he is confident. He believes in himself. He always has believed in himself. And like we said, and I think we were talking off air, I'm not sure you said this on air, but you said to me that you get the impression that he works really hard, too. He works at it.
I think so.
No, he does. He does. From all things considered, everything I've been told, he works at it. There was some curiosity about his work ethic after his rookie year.
Mm-hmm.
And it was even questioned by some people.
I think Stephen A. Smith brought it up.
Yeah, Stephen A. Smith.
Close with Joe Lacob.
Stephen A. Smith, for everything he is, he's mostly an entertainer now. So,
sure.
But don't get it messed up. He has sources, and when he wants to put his reporter hat on, he can probably do it as good or better than majority of reporters in the NBA. I grew up on Stephen A. Smith when he was the Philadelphia 76ers beat reporter for the Philadelphia Inquirer. Second to none as a beat reporter in the NBA. If Stephen A. Smith wants to be a reporter, he can put that hat back on. He's not a reporter anymore. He's just an entertainer, and he kind of likes to hear himself talk.
Yeah.
But my point is, when he says something specific like that, don't just throw it out the window. He's probably been told that. And I'll actually be honest, I was kind of told similar things. So anyway, I think Jonathan Kuminga heard that loud and clear, and there has not been any questions about his work ethic since then. To answer the question, what do I think it means for Jonathan Kuminga? Kuminga's going to look at all his peers and say, I deserve just as much as them. And the only reason I might not have as much equity as they do in this league and clout is because Steve Kerr has not given me a chance. So I need that max rookie contract too. Or you need to give me somewhere who will give it to me.
Mm.
That's just Kuminga's perspective. Warriors, I think, is going to be the same as those people in the suits were in Houston with Sengun.
Can't do it.
Can't do it. At least not yet. You're going to have to play out this year. We're going to see. I mean, that's Joe Lacob. I mean, he made Steve Kerr sweat it out for a while before he got a new deal. Bob Myers and him, before Bob decided to step down, they were going to it. Draymond Green waited to the summer of his free agency. He signed that 4-year for 100. Like, wasn't it like 2 days before free agency actually started?
Yeah.
It was really soon.
Yeah, it was early.
Even Steph Curry. I remember I asked Steph a couple years ago before he signed that extension, like, hey, what's up with your contract? And Steph was just like, we haven't really talked about it yet. Who knows if Steph was telling me the truth or not? I obviously probably had talked about it. But my point is, he didn't go sprinting to Steph years before he needed to. It kind of got down to coming up. All right, we're getting down to it. So why the heck would he do it with Kuminga? He's not going to. We know, just based off history, Kuminga's going to have to play this year without getting that rookie extension. Now, if Kuminga's on the roster and all of a sudden Kuminga's averaging 24 points per game, playing really well, then they'll have that conversation. And I think it's certainly possible. Kuminga, I think, could be primed for a big year. Now, me and you are kind of on the same page. Will those numbers be hollow?
Yeah.
Or will they be like winning numbers? Because we see so many people in the NBA. Doesn't mean you're not talented. It doesn't mean you're not good. But a lot of empty, hollow stats. And like, Kuminga had good stats last year. I'm not sure how much he contributed to winning.
Good point.
If that makes sense.
I think
he was out there hurting them.
No.
But you know what
I mean? He definitely had a stretch. I mean, when they went, what was it, like 15-5, when they went to that front court of Wiggins, Kuminga, and Draymond, I thought he was contributing to winning basketball. But to me, it was a little unsustainable just because playing Draymond at the five for 30 to 35 minutes at his age wasn't going to work.
Yeah. And
you can make a case it was more because of Draymond's ability to play the five than Kuminga's ability to kind of slide to the four.
And you'll never hear Draymond complain about that. He won't publicly. He probably won't even privately to the coaching staff because he's a prideful guy who take my lunch pail out there with me to work and just get after it. He doesn't feel like guarding these centers for 40 minutes every night. I know he don't.
Hell no. He's given up He's giving up a half foot sometimes and like 50 pounds.
Yeah.
No chance.
And the crazy thing is he does a pretty good job at it. But
yeah, he's good at it.
Yeah, it's just the wear, the tear. Yeah, he can't guard fives all season. He just can't. I mean, he can, but he's just, it's not good for him.
No, I wouldn't expect him to play a whole season doing that. And I think that's why the emergence of Trayce Jackson-Davis was so important. But of course, the consequence of it, or the guy that kind of got bumped off, was Kuminga. Mm-hmm. Now, it also coincided with him getting hurt, and he had, what is it, you know, a little bit of a knee thing. And so when he came back, they decided, all right, we're going to go with Draymond at the four, Trayce at the five, because I think they were prioritizing Draymond. But that's why the question about if Kuminga can play small forward moving into this season is so important. I still think, and we touched on this at the tail end of the show yesterday, I still think they're trying to move on from Wiggins. I still think they're trying to clear a path for someone like Jonathan Kuminga. But I think this is why the Franz Wagner extension, and again, for those that didn't hear, Franz Wagner and the Orlando Magic have agreed to a five-year rookie max contract that is worth up to $270 million. I think this is fascinating because there are so many angles to this that don't just include Kuminga, but also, Jay, we were talking yesterday about how the Warriors will be able to make a move. Well, if Kuminga's a player, and I think you're right, like Kuminga is somebody that probably looks at Franz Wagner and is like, dude, I'm better than him. I just don't get to play as much as he does.
Right, 100%.
And to be fair, I mean, Wagner last year, he contributed to winning basketball, but he wasn't their best player.
He had a pretty bad postseason, too.
He did. It was his first, and he's still young. But over the course of the season, he shot below 30% from three. Like, he didn't even average 20 points per game. I don't think he played even 35 minutes per game. So Orlando's a place where I think you do have to overpay a little bit to keep people there because it's not, you know, a money market. No one's lining up to get to the Magic. So it's a smart investment by them. But also, if you're Kuminga, you say, dude, if I was in Orlando the last 3 years and had a chance to play 30 minutes a night, like I'd be putting up equally as good numbers, if not better.
He would. So
if you're Kuminga, you have every right to think that your price tag, I mean, the price of the brick going up. But but if you're the Golden State Warriors, ain't no way in hell I'm coming close to $270 million right now. If you're the Golden State Warriors, you look at this contract and there might be some, oh my gosh, I can't, you can't do it. Like you cannot pay Jonathan Kuminga close to that amount of money. And it's not because he's not a good player and it's not because he doesn't have a super high ceiling. It's because he's still right now somewhat of an unknown. And the other part of this too, Jason, I imagine a lot of people knew about this before it, you know, became official. If you're a team that is trading for Kuminga potentially, if you're the Clippers, if you are the Jazz, if you were the Clippers, if you are the Jazz, if you are New Orleans, because Ingram was a name that was floated yesterday. If you're any team that has an inkling to get Kuminga because he's the centerpiece right now in all these trade talks for the Warriors, and you hear that he wants to be maxed out, that might actually deflate his value.
Yes and no. I mean, it just depends.
Unless you think he's that good.
Well, it's also, if you're a team just looking to rebuild, they're not, who cares about your payroll? Like, I mean, obviously, most of your players are going to be low salary players because you're trying to bottom out. If you have one guy like Kuminga who might, in theory, be maybe a little overpaid, like, at least you get 2 years to look at him, and maybe all of a sudden you hit gold with him. You know what I mean? So, I mean, yeah, his trade value could go down on that number with certain teams, but for a team like the Clippers, I don't think it would, because the Clippers are about to bottom out. I have a feeling they're about to bottom out and they're going to be a lottery team next year. And it's probably not going to happen. He's not going to get that extension here. Joe Lacob, can you imagine Clay? All of a sudden, Kuminga gets his rookie max extension. He would not be happy about that, even though he's out of sight, out of mind at this point. It still would rub him the wrong way, I would imagine. But
$44.8 million per year. That's the annual right now. It could be worth up to $270 if he makes an All-NBA team, Franz Wagner. But that's...
Which ain't happening.
I don't think so.
No, he's not one of... 10 or top 15 players.
No,
not close.
So a bit, but he's still right now a $45 million player, Franz Wagner.
I feel like they just had to do it. I mean, even though, no, they didn't. Houston said, no, we're cool.
Yeah, well, but that's the decision about Kuminga, too, is Wagner's on the same timeline. Like, he's still got one more year left on his rookie deal. Orlando might also be a place that's, it's more difficult to keep and, you know, like, maintain stars or just players in general.
Yeah, that's true.
So that could be a reason why they overpay. But again, if I'm Kuminga and I'm saying, like, I understand their situation. You know, the Magic operate on a different plane than we do. Or the Warriors, they're Orlando. It might be easier to get people over here than there. But at the same time, it doesn't change the fact that this guy has established a market for himself, and I think I'm in that same class.
Absolutely. I mean, yeah, Wagner has a little more clout and credentials than Kuminga does, but like you said, he's just had more opportunity. I mean, Kuminga is also an NBA champion. You know what I mean? Like, Wagner's never going to win an NBA championship if I had to bet.
In Orlando.
never in Orlando. I mean, maybe if he gets traded somewhere, sure. But Orlando's not winning. Even though Orlando does have a nice roster, if they were able to get Paul George, I think they would have been like a top three team in the East and could maybe make it out. But
I mean, they were a top four team, I think, most of the year up until towards the end. I mean, they won 47 games, you know, one more game than the Warriors, but obviously the East is a little bit easier to compete in. They took the Cleveland Cavaliers 7 games in the first round, and pretty much their entire core is beneath the age of 25. I mean, Jalen Suggs, Franz Wagner, Paolo Banchero, Wendell Carter Jr., Cole Anthony, Markelle Fultz, I guess Mo Wagner, the older brother, is 26, but you added KCP. I mean, they pretty much have the exact same team coming back at this point, and all of them are extremely young. So I see what Orlando is trying to do, but again, I wonder what it means for someone like Jonathan Kuminga and what it means for the Golden State Warriors, who are still, as we speak, trying to figure out, I think, how they can improve this roster and swing a trade. You know, whether it's Markkanen, Ingram, I do think that there is a player out there that they're trying to acquire. I don't think they're done yet, but I think this complicates things a little bit on the Kuminga front, because if you're a team that is, like, I don't see how it's possible for you to look at Jonathan Kuminga as another team and say, we know exactly what that guy's going to be, because I don't think the Warriors do, to be quite honest. He just hasn't played enough. And so if you're a team that's looking to acquire him, and I think you should, he's the only guy on the Warriors that I would want as a young piece.
Mm-hmm.
But if his price just went up for his extension, you know, it's one of those things we were talking about with Markkanen yesterday, Jay. It's like, if you trade for Lauri Markkanen, I'm also assuming that you're going to be able to extend him, because you wouldn't give up whatever you'd get up for 1 year of Lauri Markkanen.
Right.
I'm imagining it's the same for if you're taking Kuminga, mm-hmm. that if you trade for him, you assume that you're going to keep him.
So, and this is one of those things where I self-admittingly don't know all the rules. You know, I try not to act like I do. So next year will be Kuminga's final year of his rookie deal, correct?
Yes.
And so after that, he just becomes an unrestricted free agent?
He becomes a restricted free agent.
That's what I thought.
So, yeah, so you can match.
So then they can match. Okay. Yeah, they're gonna take that to the line. There's no incentive on the Warriors to, unless they think Kuminga will be so disgruntled, it'll just mess up team chemistry. But which I don't think will happen. I think, you know, obviously we know Jonathan is not afraid to share his opinion. Ask those folks at the Chronicle. I think it was CJ Holmes who wrote that article on the record too. It wasn't even off the record. He was like, no, I don't trust him. So I mean, like, Jonathan Kuminga is not afraid to.
I mean, there's the report this most recent year where he didn't. I mean, the quote was, I mean, it was from his camp. It wasn't from Kuminga, right. But it was basically JK doesn't believe that he can develop under Steve Kerr.
And it was completely fair. It was a complete, in my opinion, I mean, everybody might have their opinion on that and people might not like the way he went about it, but I think that was fair. I mean, look,
he wasn't getting any burn.
It's super cool that guys like Kuminga and Moody can get drafted to an organization like the Warriors that has so much clout within the NBA and the sports world in general and be rookie NBA champions? Were they rookie NBA champions, yep, or was it Wiseman the rookie NBA champ?
Wiseman's second year. Moses's first year.
Yeah, they were rookie champs. Like, that's crazy. They didn't get meaningful playoff minutes, but they both even got some minutes, some burn, like some spot action here and there. Spell this guy for the last 2.5 minutes of the quarter. This, that, and the third.
Rudy got minutes in the Western Conference Finals.
I remember that. So, like they're legitimate champions. They helped the team win a championship. Obviously, they weren't regular rotation minutes, but they were getting their burn here and there. Not many people can say that. So it's cool that they got that experience. But then they also look at their fellow draft classmates and they're like, damn, these dudes have all the opportunity in the world that I haven't really gotten. Now, Steve Kerr might be able to say, no, I've done this, I've done that. But we know they, like, especially Moses, he has not gotten regular rotation minutes to the point where he can actually prove himself and develop a name for himself around the NBA, which in turn gets him paid.
Mm-hmm.
Just hasn't had that. Kuminga has had it way more. But last year was really the first year Kuminga got that. And Kuminga had to put his throat, figuratively speaking, put his foot on Steve Kerr's neck.
Yeah.
He had to go to the media. And that's what I'm saying.
Like, and it worked.
It did work. It worked out to his benefit. I mean, that's what I mean. I don't blame him. Yeah, I remember, like, these guys have a 10-year window. A guy like Kuminga probably has, like, a 10-year window to make a lot of money. You got to get to it.
Well, and that's why I do think that this is big. 888-957-9570 is the number. Franz Wagner and the Orlando Magic have agreed to a 5-year rookie max deal worth up to $270 million. What does that mean for Jonathan Kuminga? How does that affect the way that you view his extension eligibility this summer? I think it's one thing, Jason, to look at a player like Wagner, if you're Kuminga, and say, okay, well, you know, he's on the Magic. This is the first year they've been good. I played on some good teams. Yeah, he's got to start 231 games. I mean, he's never come off the bench in his career, Franz Wagner. I kind of live with that. Okay, I get it. I was drafted to a team. I'm a raw prospect. We won a championship. I get it. But this extension, if I'm Kuminga, this is the first time where I'm finally feeling like, all right, there's real life ramifications for me being patient. And the ramifications are money. And Chris Tucker, money talks. Like, the moment that you hear Wagner getting maxed out, you might not feel like you are a max player yet, but when you see that real life earnings could be $250 million, then that patience begins to wear thin. Your camp starts to look at the Warriors and say, well, when are we going to get paid? And if you want to take it up into the finish line, if you want to take it to restricted free agency, well, then this might not be exactly how you think it's going to go. Like, we are going to play hardball because we want to get our, like you said, we want to maximize that 10-year window. There's something to Kuminga being all right with looking at Wagner and being okay with him just playing and getting more burn. But when you see him getting more money than you and you feel like you're better than him, whether you are or aren't, that to me, that would irk me a little bit. That would make me feel some type of way.
Yeah, and I'm sure Kuminga would echo your sentiment. I really am. So it'll be interesting to see how all that plays out. He has to play good basketball. That's really what matters first and foremost. And I think he's putting in the work. And the longer this goes, the more likely it seems like he will be on the team next year, I think. And we'll talk to Tony Jones, beat reporter over for the Utah Jazz over at The Athletic. He'll tell us a little more into this Lauri Markkanen situation, but I don't think it's going to happen. I think it's a pipe dream. I think Dub Nation needs to kind of look at reality, you know, and just take a breath. That ain't happening. Something else might happen, but Lauri ain't coming here.
Well, and again, this goes back to our conversation yesterday, which we got into towards the end. We can continue also. You know, this idea is of Mike Dunleavy catching hell or catching a break for what he's done this offseason. Evan Giddings alongside Jason Dumas on 95.7 The Game. When we come back, we'll continue to discuss what this deal means. Franz Wagner's for Jonathan Kuminga. What is his future? Is it in Golden State? Is it as a restricted free agent? Is it as a trade piece? Is it for marketing? Is it for somebody we're not thinking about? How can this Warriors team get back to where they need to, or is that even on the table? And then a little later on, because we got the Team USA practice starting up. I saw Steph get to Las Vegas this morning. Now, how are the Warriors going to sell Steph Curry on this offseason right now? 888-957-9570 is the number. Dumas and Giddings back with you on 95.7 The Game after this.
Back to 95.7 The Game.
All right, things are beginning to heat up finally here in NBA free agency. Not necessarily in Warriors land, but we're getting some news filing in. Evan Giddings alongside Jason Dumas, Carter Chickering behind the glass, rocking with you until 4 o'clock. We got a guest coming up in 1 o'clock that I'm really looking forward to from the Utah Jazz of The Athletic. He said he's a big boy, Jay. He's been around for a while, right?
Yeah, Tony Jones is my guy. He's been covering the Jazz for a while now.
And the Nuggets.
Yeah, he covers the Nuggets, too, because for the past, it's kind of like Anthony Slater did this year and he's done in the past. What the Athletic does, when your team that you cover primarily gets knocked out or their season's over early, they'll put you on another beat that they think is important. So, like, Slater, I think, was OKC. He went to OKC and covered that first round for the Athletic.
Yeah.
And so that's what they've been doing.
I think he used to cover the Thunder, right?
Yeah, he did. And obviously, Slater also covers the Kings a little bit because he lives out there in Sac. Mm-hmm. For Tony, especially the last couple years with the Jazz struggling, for a while, he never had the time to cover any other team. But past couple of years with the Jazz struggling, they put him on the Nuggets beat once the Jazz season is over. And so he's been doing that, too. But he mainly, his main cup of tea is the Utah Jazz. And he's broken a couple of stories over the past couple of days with who the Jazz have been talking to amongst the Warriors, if he thinks the Jazz are going to end up trading him. He's seen this before. The Jazz went through a kind of a stalemate with Gordon Hayward years back, and Hayward, I think, committed to the Celtics on 4th of July. That was probably like 5 years ago at this point.
Yeah.
So he's had a lot of he has a lot of news, so he'll be able to enlighten us, and he keeps it real, so it'll be a fun conversation. Like I said, it ain't happening. I just I held out a little hope yesterday. Today, I'm just like, yeah, it's not going to happen. It is just not going to happen. Warriors should probably turn their focus elsewhere, continue to try to tinker this roster and just make it better. And we just saw the Sacramento Kings. It looks like they're going to get a little better.
Yes, they are. Yeah, according to Adrian Wojnarowski of ESPN, who also broke the Wagner story right before the break, it looks like that the Chicago Bulls and the Sacramento Kings are engaged in a sign-and-trade talk that is going to send DeMar DeRozan to Sacramento. Apparently, the hang-up right now, according to Woj, is they're trying to find a third team because Chicago doesn't want to take a big salary back. And Sacramento has talked about upgrading their roster, obviously, but they ink Malik Monk to a four-year, $78 million deal. And it appears that they're basically trying to move off of Harrison Barnes and Kevin Huerter. And I think DeMar DeRozan is certainly an upgrade over both of those players. The question is, how much is it going to be for? I think he was looking for the $20 to $25 million range, which is why he was out of the running with the Lakers. But the other part of this, too, is the Kings were a team that were engaged in trade talks with the Utah Jazz. So that's another reason I'm looking forward to talking to Tony Jones of The Athletic again on the River Islands guest line at 1 o'clock is because the Utah Jazz now probably have one less suitor. And I think Jones was also the person who broke the news earlier this week about the Warriors having a substantial offer on the table. The Kings were the other team that did. But according to Mark Stein, the Jazz have engaged in discussions with teams such as the Spurs, the Heat, and the Pelicans, in addition to the Warriors. So there might be more teams that are coming in now because they feel like Utah is a team that doesn't have as much leverage at this point. And so I'm with you, Jay, that I don't think Markkanen is happening because I also don't think that Ainge is somebody that's going to make a move just to make a move. Like, he might even hold on to Markkanen through the deadline if he truly needs to. In fact, he might extend him. They might work through an extension because whatever team acquires him would have to do that anyways. Like, I don't think him re-upping on a new probable max deal with the Jazz would prohibit any team from trying to go out and get him.
Nah, like, Danny Ainge has no reason to rush this. at all. I mean, he knows his team won't compete next year, compete in the way where they want. So it's really just going to be, about him finding the best deal that he can patiently. And history tells us he usually does so. So that's why I don't even know if I trust Mike Dunleavy going back and forth negotiating with Danny Ainge. Mike Dunleavy might not be on that level yet. He's young. He's sharpening his teeth. I don't want to say he's learning on the job, even though it's his first GM job. He's very qualified for it. He worked directly under Bob Myers for a while. And like you said, he was raised in an NBA family. So don't get me wrong. I think Mike Dunleavy was more than qualified for the job he has right now, but he's still a rookie. He's still young.
I mean, he just finished his first season.
Yeah, Danny Ainge has been around the block.
I also don't know, because like right now on Dunleavy's resume is the Draymond Green extension, the Jordan Poole for Chris Paul deal, the two draft picks that popped last year, and what's gone down so far this season. I don't think Dunleavy, at this point in his tenure as general manager, like if you go in for someone like Markkanen, that is a potentially career-altering move. And I also think from his standpoint, it might just be too risky. You know, it might be too risky for the Warriors, might be too risky for him, could be too risky for Danny Ainge. It was funny, like I was having this conversation with my friend yesterday, and he's texting me, he's like, you know, I'm so hyped, Warriors got to go all in, send whatever to Lauri Markkanen, I'll be on the flight, I'll go with him, I'll pick him up at the airport, I'll do all this. I'm like, dude, you're the last person that I would send to negotiate with Danny Ainge. Like by the end of that conversation, you would give him your car, you would give him your house, and he would have the clothes off your back. Like that's the kind of the moment I feel like he senses blood in the water, like he just gets everything. I mean, it's almost like you have to negotiate out of a place of just complete, I don't know, like almost like a non-spot of, well, you kind of just pounce. Like if you're in an extended conversation and negotiation, it feels like with Danny Ainge, it just isn't going to end up going your way. Because he's also somebody that's not afraid to walk away. Like, he's the guy that shows up to Shark Tank.
He has nothing to lose.
And is not afraid to say, Mark Cuban, I don't need your deal. Like, I don't want your money. Your money's no good here.
100%. And he has all the bargaining power right now. I mean, he doesn't even have to trade Markkanen. That's another thing I'm going to ask Tony Jones. Like, why is he even on the trade block? Like, obviously, Utah isn't good, and Utah is trying to build something, but why can't you build something with Lauri Markkanen on the roster? It's interesting, you know, because, yeah, I've talked myself out of Markkanen. Not as the player. I think he's going to be a good player. He is a good player. Not he's going to be a good player, but it's just like, Danny Ainge has all the power. If it hasn't happened by now, it's for a reason. It's because he has his foot on their neck. Like, no, give me more.
I kind of think the moment that we saw the Buddy Hield sign and trade completed, that was the end of it. Because I think they were trying to find a way to work in that sign and trade, which included some of Klay Thompson's tax exemption money, to figure out how they could get Markkanen.
Right.
So the fact that that was completed, they now have 15 spots occupied on the roster if you include Quinn Post. So they are kind of set in a sense. I still think they can make a move, but I just don't think it's for someone like Markkanen. The thing that is now curious to me is how they treat, I think that like the next order of business is Jonathan Kuminga. And that's why I think that Franz Wagner getting maxed out for 5 years by the Orlando Magic is very interesting, because I'm not sure that there's a trade that is going to move the needle in a wholesome direction for the Warriors. But I do think the decisions they make about Kuminga, that is one that will either stick with them or not, because I still have, like, if you told me, Jay, that next year Kuminga is going to average 25 on near 50% shooting from the floor, his rebound numbers are up a little bit, the 3-point shot improves a little bit, I could see it. If you also told me that he averages about 18, shoots the same percentage from three, you know, plays maybe 30 minutes, starts half the season, comes off the bench, I could also see that too. Like, I feel like he is the most difficult Warrior to project right now as far as what kind of season he's going to have in 2024-25.
We got a really funny text on our Comcast Xfinity text line. Y'all talking about Danny Ainge over here like he negotiated us out of the Cuban Missile Crisis. That's from the 415. Man,
there's a fascinating documentary about that. I don't want to go down the rabbit hole, but
that's hilarious. I mean, look, I'm not trying to make Danny Ainge out to be this guy who can't get got, but the history tells us he gets people more than he gets got. And Mike Dunleavy is still new to this. So I caution that stalemate, because we know the way it goes typically with one guy. So that's all I'm saying. And look, I think Jonathan Kuminga is going to have a great year. I just think Lauri Markkanen's a little more proven. I think that's fair to say.
Absolutely.
He's more proven, and he's made an all-star game, probably was on his way to making another all-star game before kind of the season derailed him last year with injuries. So Kuminga, I mean, look, Kuminga next year is going to be playing for that rookie extension. He's going to be playing to prove his worth to the organization and to the rest of the league. So just like I was talking about Brandon Ingram yesterday, how Brandon Ingram is definitely going to come into this season with a chip on his shoulder, I think Jonathan Kuminga will too. And, you know, they started saying a couple days ago that Kuminga was never in the trade talks for Paul George, which I don't believe. But they came out and said that after the fact, because I think they're probably planning on having Kuminga on the roster and they want a happy Kuminga.
That's a good point. Yeah, the conflicting reports. I thought the timing of the Kawakami piece after the George deal was dead was interesting. Like, it came out really quick. Like the same night. So there was something there. And of course, in the piece, there was that line about, you know, there were combinations essentially of Paul, Moody, Kuminga, and Wiggins. But it sounded like Wiggins and Kuminga weren't on the table at the same time, which may or may not have been a deal breaker. But then Shelburne and Kendra Andrews' report comes out the next day, you know, essentially that Kuminga was never on the table in the Clippers deal. I'm not sure what I believe, but I do know that you're right. Like, part of it is playing the game of, well, if you are going to dangle, there's no doubt that Kuminga and his camp know that he's going to be in trade talks. Like, he's the only guy on the Warriors that people want at this point.
Yeah, it should. Honestly, it should be flattering might not be the right way to put it. But like you said, it shouldn't be surprising. If the Warriors want to upgrade their team, you are the guy who they can use to do it. Like, that tells you that you have value around the league. So you should look at it that way, not, oh, the Warriors don't want me. It's, oh, teams are asking about me.
And that's why he's not a max player to me. Like, I don't think that even if he gets extended this summer, he's getting close to what Franz Wagner got. But that also might help your leverage a little bit in those negotiations to say, hey, you know, if you want me to test restricted free agency, I'm more than willing to do that. I just need you to know and realize, because I'm sure you do, that a lot of teams out there want me. And if they're willing to trade for me and give up capital for me, then I'm sure they'd be willing to pay me. And that is going to be far easier for them to do next summer than if I was under lock and key this summer. And I also think Kuminga wants to be a Warrior. Like, I don't think he's somebody that would, you know, just kind of play the game of, well, you know, I'm all right playing somewhere else. And I think he likes it here. And I think he really enjoys the staff. I know there's been documented history about his relationship with Kerr, but I think generally they see eye to eye on most things. They're probably just cut from different cloths and different generations. But that's a gap that can be bridged if you play the kid. Like, I think what Kuminga really just wants is to play. Like, I think he wants to compete. And I think this year there's more of an opportunity for him to do so than ever. That's why in regards to the contract extension, I think that if Andrew Wiggins is still on the roster this upcoming season, you have to let Kuminga become a restricted free agent. I don't think that you can extend him long term. If you move Wiggins, I do think you have to extend Kuminga this summer, because there is going to be a pathway for him to play big minutes, and his price might just continue to go up to a point where you don't want to pay him that much.
Yeah. You know, it's one of those things, talking about Kuminga and his relationship with the coaching staff. I know he's extremely close with Anthony Vereen, the Golden State Warriors assistant coach, who will be coaching their summer league team this year in at Chase Center in Las Vegas. But I'll say I think Kuminga just wants to go where he's going to be playing a lot. And if it's San Francisco, so be it. I don't think he has any hesitation to go somewhere else. I guess maybe in an ideal world, it's here. This is the only NBA city he's known. They drafted him. There's something to be said about that. But, and I know Joe Lacob loves the guy. I mean,
that's a big part of it, too.
A huge part of it. Joe Lacob is like, that's like his last pick, you know, because obviously Wiseman didn't work out. He really wants Kuminga to work out. Because,
well, and he didn't buy the team and then they drafted Curry. Like, Curry was already here.
Yeah, that's one of his guys. Lacob was behind that Kuminga pick. So I think Kuminga's going to eventually get the benefit of the doubt. I think Steve Kerr felt a lot of pressure to play Kuminga from up top, even 2 years ago, going back 2 years ago, not even last year. Obviously, last year, it paid off because Kuminga had a pretty good season. So, I mean, look, Kuminga has barely scratched his potential. He is going to continue to get better. Obviously, we want to see the winning impact be a little greater next season because, like I said, I do think some of it was just hollow, but he's a young guy trying to figure it out. And as far as Wiggins goes, it's just been interesting because I would have thought Wiggins would have been gone by now. I really do. But it's still early in the offseason.
I think if they had a suitor, I think he would be. I think the issue is, I feel like the only offer that we've heard about that's included Wiggins, well, Paul George, but I mean, the one that to me would be the most even would be the Bulls offer. And to me, there's only one or two more contracts.
What was that offer? Wiggins
and Paul straight up for Levine. And so you're essentially trading Wiggins for Levine. But you're trading 3 years and Wiggins is making like, you know, 84, 85 over the next 3 years for Levine, who's making like 120 over the next
right,
3 years,
right.
130. And
you just don't know when Wiggins or when same thing with Wiggins, though. But you don't know when Levine's going to play. You just don't. I mean,
you're just trading toxic contract for toxic contract.
Dr. Pena told us a couple of days ago that foot injury, it's not great. It's not great for basketball players, especially basketball players who rely on their athleticism. So I can see why the Warriors turned that down. That's just a lot of money to be married to. And especially during a time when you're trying to get out.
And I don't think it makes you that much better, you know, and it kind of handicaps you a little bit.
I do disagree with that. I think if he is playing basketball and back to his old self when he was an all-star, he makes you better. He is way better than Wiggins, in my opinion. I know a lot of people like to talk about point of attack defense, this, that, and the third. And, of course, defense wins. But, man, you need bucket getters, too. You need bucket getters. Levine was a bucket. I actually think because of his contract and because of the injuries, he is now underrated. But I am more worried about those injuries. He hasn't really been the same since. He doesn't play much since. And there's a reason Chicago is so hell-bent on getting out from under that contract.
Yeah, and they've been trying to do it for a while. And that's why I would say to me they're just a net neutral. Like Levine is a far more offensively gifted player than Wiggins. I mean, he averaged like 27 in a season. And when he's right, he can be good. But this is why I guess I would disagree is, I mean, that's the same argument for Wiggins. Like, it's if Wiggins could be 2022 Wiggins, oh, well, if Zach LaVine could be 2022 Zach LaVine, then they both help, but they both don't. Like, they both aren't for different reasons. Wiggins, I think, more so because it's mentally challenging. And LaVine, it's because he's got injuries that he can't seem to get over. Either way, you can't rely on either of them. And so I understand both sides wanted to get off him. I guess I just that would be a lateral move to me for the Warriors. And even though I'm not the biggest Wiggins fan, and I've wanted him gone for quite some time, if there's one guy I would rather have less, I think it'd be LaVine just because of his contract.
Yeah, see, Levine's good. Even Wiggins, championship
Wiggins.
He'd
be a great guy to pull out in the dunk contest at Chase Center next year.
Even championship Wiggins was never as good as Levine, in my opinion. Even the year they won the championship, like,
ooh.
I just don't think he's ever been as good as Zach LaVine. I think now the injury thing is fair. The injury thing is fair for sure. That's why I'm worried about it. But when they're both healthy, I don't think they're even comparable. I don't think Wiggins at his best is close to as good as Zach LaVine at his best. Wiggins is a better defender. That's it. There's nothing else he really does better. I mean, I guess you can
That's
say
pretty important him. Though.
Yeah, it's important, but also you can go out and grab other guys who can play defense. You can't grab other guys who can score 27 points per game. They're just not readily available. You can get people to replace Wiggins' defense. You can't just kind of go scour the market and be like, we need somebody scoring at least 23 to 27 points per night. It's harder to come by. That's all I'm saying. Now, he has a bum foot, so it's all moot anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know what I mean? So it's one of those things where it's just...
He would give you a number two score for sure. And he would be an upgrade at the two spot. But yeah, I just think the Warriors are too afraid of the combination of injury and contract. You know, again, I think there's just a reason. It's the same thing that applies to Wiggins. I mean, everybody has said the last year or so, I mean, really since Wiggins kind of went on his extended absence, which we still don't technically know the reason why, and I'm not sure we ever will. Not that it's really any of our business, but I just don't think we're ever going to find out. You know, the Warriors have been trying to move him, and there's been nobody that's been willing to take him. And I don't think it's just because of the contract. I think it's because of the whole thing, which is the same reason why no one wants Zach LaVine. It's not just the contract. It's also the injuries, because you just can't depend on him. And at this point, too, I also think, look, someone like Steph Curry makes 15 years in the league look pretty doable. But both players are on the opposite side of their pension. Like they both played 10 years in the league plus. And so even though they're relatively young as far as age, they got a lot of miles on those legs. That's why I'd be afraid of LaVine. And if I was another team looking at Wiggins, I would also be afraid of him. I would be afraid of what the next 3 years are going to be, how locked in he's going to be, how invested he'll be in the team, and just what player you're going to get. Because I also think that hurts the Warriors. And honestly, next season, even if Wiggins is on the squad, because of what we've seen the last couple of years, I would like to see Andrew Wiggins come off the bench, which he did at points this year. And it wasn't because it was a role change, it's because he just wasn't productive. And Steve Kerr was willing to bring him off the bench, which I think would also clear a path for Kuminga and potentially Moody if they're both not traded this summer.
Right. You know, and look, I got down this LaVine rabbit hole because we're talking about it. I'm just reading up on his injury. And so in March, Zach LaVine...
He's not quite Lonzo Ball, but...
It's funny. Lonzo Ball is mentioned in this article as well. But in March, this past March, and honestly, it sounds like me right now, LaVine said, I feel really good. I get to boot off soon. I've been able to be out here rehabbing, getting everything right. I just have to wait for the tendon to heal. And other than that, it's a pretty straightaway rehab. My leg feels strong. Everything feels good. Getting ready for another birth of my child. So we're all happy. 3 weeks to boot is taken off. And then the doctor assesses my next regimen. So that was back in March. And honestly, that sounds just like me. I get my boot off in like,
yeah.
Get my boot off in like 2 weeks. I can't wait to put a sneaker on my right foot. I haven't put a sneaker on this foot since May 25th. And here we are July 5th. So I'm looking forward to that day. But in terms of Zach LaVine, I don't know, man. I just think scores like that don't grow on trees. And Wiggins' defense for the last 2 years have been overstated to me anyway. Like, he was great. He was a great defender, point of attack defense, the championship year. And he can play high-level on-ball defense in spurts now when he is locked in. But Who knows when he's locked in?
That's a good point. Well, maybe we can get to the bottom of it and more with Tony Jones from The Athletic, who's coming up on the other side on the River Islands guest line. Really looking forward to that conversation. It's going to help us get to the bottom of Lauri Markkanen. Is it feasible at this point for the Warriors? According to Mark Stein, there's a lot of other suitors. The Warriors have made substantial offers, according to Tony Jones, but does he have any more information? And how feasible is it for the Warriors at this point to swing big if Lauri Markkanen is off the table? I'm also curious to get his ideas on what's happened around the rest of the league, perhaps something about Franz Wagner's extension, what it means for Kuminga, and just how he is surveying right now the NBA landscape in the midst of free agency. That's Jason Dumas. My name is Evan Giddings. On the other side of that interview, we will be taking your phone calls at 888-957-9570. That's also the number for the Xfinity Mobile text line. Thanks to everyone here on a Friday filing in on the YouTube chat and Twitch by First NorCal Credit Union. But again, on the other side, we're going to talk to Tony Jones of The Athletic, covers the Utah Jazz and the Denver Nuggets, all courtesy of the River Islands guest line. Giddings, Dumas, back after this on 85.7 The Game, all brought to you by Safeway.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Odyssey celebrates the back-to-school season, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.